Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the regulations of a certain hospital required that a wheelchair be provided for patients being discharged. Well, a particular student nurse found an elderly gentleman already dressed and sitting on the hospital bed with a suitcase at his feet. The gentleman insisted over and over again that he didn't need help in leaving the hospital. Well, after a chat about rules being rules, he reluctantly got into the wheelchair and let the nurse wheel him to the elevator. On the way down, she asked him if his wife was meeting him, to which he replied, "I don't know, she's still upstairs in the bathroom changing out of her hospital gown." We do like our rules because rules bring order, and that's a good thing. But sometimes when we set our minds to think of something in a certain way, it's very hard to think otherwise. Like the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? I think some of the biggest arguments I've had with my husband are when he is suggesting a new way of doing things or a new way of thinking, right? And I just can't fathom doing it any other way. Unfortunately, there are times when I do listen to him, and he's right, but not too often. Were you ever told as a kid, or maybe you mentioned it, that whenever you would cross your eyes, the parent would say, "Don't do that, your eyes are going to stay that way"? Well, we know that there are medical conditions now that causes this, and not just really being silly and irritating your mother, right? Well, today we are called to be cross-eyed and focus on God's cross-eyed promise. John 3:16 is a verse that most people do know. You can walk out onto the streets and ask somebody if they know a Bible verse, and it will probably be John 3:16. If they don't know the words by heart, they at least know the numbers, right? John 3:16, it's up in sporting events and so many places. And we've heard that it is the gospel in a nutshell. But I don't think it really is as simple as we think. I believe the truth about God's purposes in Christ can sometimes be confusing and troubling. Our gospel reading right before this is a reminder that Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee that comes to Jesus in the cover of darkness, right? He is a learned man. He is a man that is very intelligent, very accomplished, who comes to Jesus with curiosity and finds what Jesus has to say quite confusing because it demands that he let go of everything that he has learned, of all that he has done, and let it go and become like a newborn, ready to receive the world on completely new terms. Sometimes that is just hard to grasp because doing something new is exhausting and can be asking a lot of us, isn't it? God loved the world so much that God gave his Son so that all who believe in him may have eternal life. What is it about this simple good news that we may not quite understand? I think the first thing we need to think about in this simple verse is how Jesus chose his words and how he describes himself. He says that he is like that serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness that Sandy just read about, that story about the Israelites, again, grumbling and complaining. And so God sent the serpents, the poisonous snakes, and when they were bitten, they die. And so they understand their mistake, and they go to Moses and ask for help. And so Moses asks God, and God tells him to make that bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and lift it up so that when a person is bitten, they can look to that bronze snake and be forgiven, to be saved. To not die, right? To have that redemption. And so in the same way that that serpent was lifted up on a pole, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There's a double meaning that John is using here. That term to lift up is a play on words because it also means to exalt. So Jesus is physically lifted up into the air on the cross as foretelling his death, right? But at the same time, he's also being exalted by God. And why? For the redemption and the forgiveness of all people. There's a story about a family that was staying in a hotel in Nigeria, West Africa. And one morning, they heard a knock on their door. And so they opened it, and they found a smiling Nigerian gentleman ready to clean their room. Well, the wife was mortified as she looked around and she saw their messy, wrinkled clothes all over their suitcases, kind of erupted all over the room, wet towels everywhere. It's kind of like the what, I don't know, maybe you don't do this, but I do, where you clean your house before the cleaning lady comes, right? So she was embarrassed. She was mortified. And so she started apologizing profusely, but the young man replied graciously, "No problem. For this reason, I have come to put your things in order." Scripture says that's exactly what Jesus came to do for us, to put our lives in order, to straighten up our mess. And the truth is, we can't do it ourselves. We've tried and we've failed. So instead, Jesus offers to clean us up from the inside out. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. To believe that Jesus died and was raised to save us can be easy to understand in the sense that it requires nothing from us. But maybe that's just not so easy. God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to save us from our sin and death. But such simplicity, I think, does not honor maybe John's larger story. This story is about an encounter with Jesus that left an intelligent and accomplished man like Nicodemus scratching his head in bewilderment as he went back out into the darkness. This is a story about how any one of us might reject the light offered to us freely because of this. If we accept that light, well, we're afraid it may expose what is dark in us. To believe this good news as being our salvation, to thoroughly understand what is given to us, I think we also need to trust in this good news. And to trust in Jesus is not simply to believe something that happened in a story long ago, but also to let our own lives be transformed by the Jesus we encounter in this story today. So what can we trust in? How can we learn to be transformed by Jesus? I think we can trust in the fact that Jesus will give us more when we are opened to this story of grace and mercy. More to come. More life, more love, more hope, more faith, more strength, more mercy, more God, more of Jesus. So much more that it will take an eternity for us to receive it all. Kathy was one of the happiest women around. She loved her job. She worked in the hospital kitchen and everybody knew and loved her. But her work came to an end when she developed cancer. During one visit to her hospital room, her pastor found her in great pain and she was on her side, facing a window, big open window, like looked out into the wide open, beautiful skies of a South Dakota morning. And as her pastor prayed with her, a thought came to mind. He asked, "Kathy, would you like to have a cross in your room?" With most of her strength gone, all she could do was nod her head. So her pastor went to the church, went to the sanctuary, took their large silver cross that was on their altar, and he carried it in his arms to the hospital. And as he walked down the halls of the hospital carrying this large cross, people looked at him kind of strangely. When he entered Kathy's room, he held up the cross and he said, "See what I have?" And she looked up, tears filling her eyes, and she said, "For me?" The pastor took that cross from their church sanctuary and he placed it in that big old windowsill in the center where Kathy could see silhouetted in that beautiful sky. And that's where it remained for her last 2 days of her life. That cross gave her strength and indescribable comfort. And with every glance, that cross reminded Kathy of the promise of more. When we receive the sign of the cross in baptism, that cross becomes the sign that we can look to, that sign that we can look to in faith for healing, for a restored relationship with God and others, for hope in our everyday lives, and hope and promise for us when we are dying. Our challenge is to have a cross-eyed focus on the cross-eyed promise of God, to put our things in order, to trust in the promise of more that we receive from the one who is exalted, the one who is lifted up to give us so much more. Amen.